Welcome back to the Easy Benefits Blueprint. My name is Lauren. I'm an account manager here at Easy Benefits. And today we have a very exciting episode planned for you all with my special guest, Jackie Hansen, the CEO and founder of Sprout Family, Canada's only digital health and benefits platform for fertility and family building. Welcome, Jackie.
Thanks so much for having me.
Of course, so happy to have you here. And I'm so excited to get into this conversation today because, of course, we're going to be chatting about fertility benefits, which, of course, are employer-provided programs, services, and financial assistance that, you know, will help employees with their family building journey. So, of course, for listeners who may not know you or may not know Sprout, can you just tell us a little bit about Sprout and how this came to be?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're a Canadian fertility and family building benefits platform, as you mentioned, and our mission is to improve access to parenthood, regardless of how individuals are building their family, whether that's through fertility treatments like IVF, adoption, surrogacy, or other pathways. Because we fundamentally believe that building your family shouldn't depend on where you live, who you love, and how much you earn. But personally, my twin and I were actually born through IVF. So I really got to see this space and I got into this space because I firsthand experienced how fragmented and overwhelming the journey can actually be for individuals and for families. People are navigating very complex medical treatments that they're often hearing about for the first time when they actually get diagnosed, very confusing provincial coverage, financial stress, and they're often doing it all while trying to actually maintain their careers. And so Suze and I, my co-founder, realized that there was a huge opportunity to really create a solution that brings all of this support together in one place and where we can actually partner with employers to make this accessible to their teams.
Incredible. Was there a moment that you and Susan had where you were like, okay, this space needs some change. We need to do something here. Was there anything that, you know, was specific that kind of got this to where it is today?
Yeah, I think a lot of times, you know, when you're building a business, you do a lot of market research to understand, you know, what's the demand? Who are the stakeholders? What is the willingness to pay for a product like this? And you also look at other markets, whether that be the US, Europe, different regions to understand what type of companies are having success there. And we saw this trend in the US since about 2014 or 2016, where basically it went from 0% coverage to over 50% of companies in the US now offer very comprehensive fertility and family building benefits. And it's not just the dollars, it's with a provider that is providing the wraparound support to make sure that people are using their dollars most effectively, but also feel very supported in terms of understanding what their options are, which provider would be best on them based on what journey they're going through, and then helping them a lot on the financial planning piece. And so when we looked at the Canadian market, we were quite honestly shocked to learn that only 2% of Canadian employers offer fertility coverage. And felt like there was a huge opportunity to really make an impact. And the challenging thing about the Canadian market is because we have this universal healthcare system, there's a common belief that isn't correct, that fertility is included as part of our healthcare. And it's really one of the few private sector areas of healthcare in Canada. And so, you know, we've had to do a lot of education and awareness building around the importance of this and why it is so important from an ROI and business perspective to include fertility as part of these plans. But it really came from that of just feeling like, wow, we are really far behind other markets. And as our population declines and, you know, more people need dual incomes in order to build and support their families, there is a huge need for employers to really help and support this area of benefits.
So while we've seen some significant improvements in this space, you know, it's still not enough, though, especially when we look at employee benefits. Just want to throw out some statistics that I found, you know, a little shocking. 50% of Canadian employers provide coverage for fertility drugs on their plans, which has certainly increased over the last couple of years, but only about 1% offer coverage for fertility treatments. Now, before we get into the benefits landscape, I think it's important to pause on, you know, why this matters so much. Obviously, fertility struggles are beyond just financially, emotionally, and logistically overwhelming for so many Canadians. What do you think are some of the biggest challenges that Canadians are facing when trying to access fertility care today?
Yeah, I think that's such an important question. And I think it's also important to kind of go back to thinking about like what is the education system that we have today in school, but also with GPs as we try to learn more about our reproductive health and options that exist. So, I think back to my sex ed classes in elementary school and high school, and we're basically taught like the moment you have unprotected intercourse, you're going to get pregnant. And it really oversimplifies the really harsh realities of many people that actually have a really challenging time trying to conceive. And the second piece is, we don't know enough about our menstrual cycle and our ovulation. I work with a lot of people at Sprout who are coming through our programs, and they don't even understand like their own menstrual cycle and how to track their ovulation, which is a key indicator of your reproductive health and fertility health. So those are some of the things where I wish, and part of what we do is really focus on proactive care and helping people that are younger, not actually in their family building eras, to make sure that they're more educated going into their late 20s and early 30s. But I think, there are really three major challenges that employees face. And I think this is important because as we think about, being women in our careers, as we enter our 30s, we want to take these bets on ourselves. We want to be investing in our careers, but unfortunately, it really conflicts directly with our biological clock. And so like there actually is a direct correlation of why this support is so important, especially when companies are trying to promote genders equality across the workforce. So the first is cost. A single round of IVF will cost $20,000 to $25,000, and most people unfortunately need multiple cycles in order to achieve a single pregnancy. And without coverage, this is simply out of reach for many Canadians. I think about 40% of individuals delay treatment just due to financial circumstances, and as we age, so does the need for fertility support. So that just exacerbates the issue. Second is access and navigation. So as I mentioned, even in provinces where there is provincial funding, the system is very complicated. People don't know what they're eligible for. They don't know how to access it or where to even find quality providers. They're Googling at midnight, going down Reddit threads, posting in Facebook groups, and really trying to piece information together that isn't credible. And the third is stigma and isolation. So despite how common fertility challenges are, one in six individuals will face this, and many of them suffer in silence. People are taking time off for appointments. They are dealing with failed cycles, having miscarriages at work, and they're feeling like they can't be open to their managers and bosses in that working environment. And so when we don't support employees through these major reproductive health events, we're really creating barriers that unfortunately disproportionately impact women and individuals in the LGBTQ plus communities. And from my perspective, we're basically saying like you're on your own for this major life milestone is not really the typical approach when we take into account other benefits like diabetes, cancer care, even weight loss. And that has real consequences for retention, advancement, and equity in the workplace.
Wow, that's so true. Especially when you mention, there's been so much advancements in group benefits when it comes to diabetes and cancer drugs and anti-obesity, yet fertility has kind of been left in the past. I know when I, started in this industry a couple of years ago, I never would highlight if fertility benefits were included on a plan. It's just not something that was, really talked about. But now, in current day, I always try to highlight that to the, the client, just to say this is something that your employees are asking about, are thinking about. And if they're not asking about it, it's because of kind of what you said, that stigma there. And also, it is kind of alarming with the one in six. Like, that's a pretty big statistic. And that brings me then to, I guess, kind of the actual benefit portion of it. Because I pulled a stat and it said about 53% of employers with group benefits are offering fertility drugs, which is excellent. That definitely has increased. But fewer than 1% of them are offering coverage for fertility clinic treatments, such as IVF. And you just said it's $20,000 to $25,000 a round, and there are several rounds. So there's definitely still a gap here in the Canadian market that I think has to be talked about. So I'm so glad we're doing this today. I want to go back to something you previously said. You mentioned that fertility benefits are an ROI, so return of investment, drive business decision, and not a charity. Can you elaborate on that a little bit more?
Yeah, and just before, because you did mention the cost, which I think is important to reiterate is like, when people are saving for a house, they want to buy a house, you're saving for your down payment every year, and you can, continue saving until you achieve that goal. But unfortunately, with fertility treatment, you're not saving for that because you don't actually expect that you'll need to go through that. And especially, I'm considering the heterosexual couple that is experiencing infertility. And so those are also important to think about when it comes to how this actually will affect an individual going through the journey. Of course, if you are part of the LGBTQ community and your only option is to go through assisted reproductive technology, surrogacy, adoption, then you might have a different approach to how you're thinking about funding those costs of treatment. But still, there's definitely inequity across the organization when some people have coverage for this and some other pathways don't. But going back to, ROI as a business decision, I think first, the problem that we do see, and especially you highlighted it, the gap between the 53% that are offering drug coverage and the 1% that are offering treatment coverage, is that employers today are adding, $5,000 to $10,000 of a fertility treatment benefit, and they think they've checked the box and they're providing enough support for individuals, but employees are still really struggling to fund the extra cost for a full treatment cycle. And we've learned that in order for fertility benefits to be effective, they need to be holistic. So at Sprout, we focus on three core pillars. The first is coverage navigation. So again, many people don't understand their eligibility. They don't understand what clinics to go to. And so we really help people understand, okay, what's your total cost of treatment? What benefits do you have today? Whether that's fertility coverage, drug coverage, paramedical, healthcare spending account that you could really leverage to reduce your out-of-pocket expenses. So that your employer funding goes further. Second is provider support. So we have a provider network of hundreds of providers across the country, many of which we've negotiated rates with. So we're making sure that we're matching people quickly to highly vetted fertility clinics and specialists so that they can make informed decisions and get care efficiently. And the third is our virtual care and counseling. So this includes mental health support, which is critical because the fertility journey is so emotionally taxing, as well as care coordination. So people aren't managing everything by themselves. And so this is why it's so important for employers to understand that, as I said, this is not a charity. It's a ROI-driven business decision. Employees who need these benefits are typically in their prime working years. We're talking about individuals who are between the ages of, 30 and 40 years old. And these are people that companies have heavily already invested in, who have established their role at the company that they're working in. And when they leave, because they can't afford to build their families while working for these businesses, companies are losing institutional knowledge. They're spending a significant amount of money on recruitment, on training. And I think I've gone through a lot of studies that suggest that the average cost of replacing an individual on a team can be about 50 to 200% of an employee's salary. And so, in my opinion, and the data that we're seeing at Sprout, is that retention alone justifies the investment into fertility and family building programs. And that's even before you factor in things like productivity, engagement, and ultimately employee brand.
That is such a good point. And especially when it comes to retention, me, all of my friends, colleagues, we're all in that kind of landscape that you just spoke about. Early 30s, starting off in our careers, really wanting to excel, but also in those prime years for thinking about building a family. And then I know for a fact, a lot of my friends would definitely gravitate towards an employer that does promote that they do help with fertility, and not just with the drugs, but also the treatment. And, I know adoption maybe might not be something massive in this space right now, but I'm sure, we're going towards that as well. And with surrogacy and whatnot, can you speak on that a little bit? Like how Sprout would help members when it comes to surrogacy adoption or other different types of treatment that are not just IVF?
Yeah, and I think that's where coverage is so important because the fertility journey is expensive. There's a misconception around surrogacy, first of all, in Canada, that there's a lot of gray space, but it is very much legal, but it's altruistic. So what that means is people often think, oh, well, surrogacy is free. Well, that's actually not the case. It's just that unlike markets where you can actually compensate a surrogate mother for carrying the baby, in Canada, you're basically paying for re you're reimbursing for aspects of the journey. So you're still paying for IVF, whether you're using your own eggs or sperm, as well as donor eggs and sperm, which is very, very costly. That's going to be $20,000 to $30,000. You're paying potentially an agency if you're working with an agency to help you match and find your surrogate. And then you're also paying for a lot of lifestyle expenses as that surrogate mother is carrying the babies, things like childcare if they have children, travel expenses. So if they have to travel to go to clinics or appointments. So the actual cost of a surrogacy journey in Canada can be, you know, $80,000 to $200,000, which is so significant. And it for many people is the only pathway that they can go down in order to build their families. And, you know, I think, you know, people don't always know like why you have to use surrogate. And I think there's, you know, examples of if a same-sex male couple and you can't carry, but you want a child that's genetically, you know, related to yours, then you would go down that pathway. But also you think about individuals who have undergone cancer treatment and they've done chemotherapy or radiation and they can't get pregnant themselves. And so there's a lot of other reasons why people would go down that pathway. And so what we do at Sprout is we support, we actually have a surrogacy coach and a donor specialist on our platform that will map out this multi-year journey for individuals. And we recommend, you know, the best fertility and family building lawyers. We work with donor agencies, we work with fertility clinics. And so we make sure that individuals are supported along the way, not just on the financial piece, but also making sure that they're talking to the right providers, they're making progress in what can be a really lengthy journey. And it's similar on the adoption side. I think adoption in Canada is becoming a bit more challenging in terms of the number of adoptions per year in Ontario, I think is quite low, but we still are quite connected to a lot of the adoption agencies, and we have the our care coordinators that can make sure that we're working with individuals on a personalized basis to really help them understand what all their options are and lay that information out before they spend years kind of getting stuck on their journey.
Wow, so much is being highlighted already that I didn't even think about, you know, before we hopped on this podcast. Question for you. Do you find that there's a difference between, you know, the small, medium, large size organizations? Do you find you have kind of a plethora of a bunch of different size of businesses, or do you think there's more of a trend of just, you know, the large companies offering this, and maybe why it is so important for those smaller and mid-sized businesses to be thinking about this for their employees?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think you would probably have a lot of insights into plan design between company sizes, but I think for us, you know, under 50 employees, you're typically, you know, maybe you have a healthcare spending account, maybe you have like a very basic drug and dental plan. And so things like fertility, which is almost like an enhancement, would not really fall within scope of that plan. And that's it's likely due to just like budget constraints that company's going to have at that stage. But we are having a lot of success kind of above, you know, 100 to 200 employees all the way up to in the thousands. So more enterprise level where businesses are thinking about, okay, what, how do we make sure that we're creating plans that are supporting people throughout these different life stages? And so, what that looks like is a lot of feedback at the employee level of, you know, doing proper surveying to understand like what are the needs, how could these programs make sense and fit into your budgets. What has been a bit challenging is that the existing plans on the market with the some of the insurance carriers are a bit more restrictive in terms of like there's one plan. So it's like you're either going to get, you're going to do nothing, you're going to do maybe $5,000 of drug coverage, or you're going to do $20,000 to $30,000 of coverage. And so how we've flipped that at Sprout is we have two different plans, which allows us to kind of sell into the SMB space, mid-market space, and enterprise space, where companies can partner with us for our digital health platform, which is all of the navigation, the financial planning, the provider network, access to negotiated rates. And that's kind of on a per employee per month fee. And then we have our complete plan, which is our digital health plus Sprout Pay, which is our flexible lifetime maximum product that an employer could customize based on their size and stage of growth. And so that becomes more helpful when a company is thinking about, okay, we do want to provide some support, but we can't pay for, you know, 30 plus thousand dollars. We maybe want to start with 10, then we can customize that based on their needs and then really grow and scale with them.
No, that's such a good point. And speaking of plan design, Here at Easy Benefits, I, work a lot on the small and medium-sized businesses, alongside the larger accounts. But I do find, in terms of plan designs, majority of the time, if there are fertility drugs included, and again, emphasis on just the drugs, typically we're going to see 2,500, maybe up to 15,000 if you're very lucky. And this is a lifetime maximum. Whereas a lot of times on benefit plans, your benefits restart at the beginning of every year. That's another thing. We're not talking about, $2,500 every year. We're talking about $2,500 your whole life. And if, your company stays with the same provider for quite some time, that maximum isn't going to change, which I'm really glad you brought up the healthcare spending account, because it is true there are ways for, these smaller businesses who, are conscious of budget, or even larger businesses, frankly. There are different ways that they can help out their employees. And in addition, adding kind of the lighter version, I guess, of Sprout, you would call it, the digital platform, because even just that, showing the employees that, we heard you, we hear you, and we want to help, I think that would go so far, with, team members and hopefully future team members.
Yeah, and I think to add to my point, or maybe speak a little bit more in detail around kind of the points there, is practically, if we're being practical for companies or advisors who are thinking about how to implement these solutions, there's obviously the opportunity for employers to partner with platforms like Sprout that really provide comprehensive support. So not just dollars, but navigation, provider network, virtual care, all bundled together, which is similar to what we've seen with mental health, where businesses, 10 years ago were adding dollar coverage, and now basically every single company in Canada has some sort of EAP or specialized mental health platform. So you're really pairing dollar coverage with a provider platform that can help employees get access to care efficiently. Others can obviously work with carriers and add, things like fertility drugs to their existing plans, but the key there is to really ensure that it's actually comprehensive and it's going to make a difference. Because if you put in a plan that is not actually fundamentally solving the problem for employees, you're going to end up getting more questions than excitement around it. And that's going to have to make you make changes in the following year. And on the cost management side, they're definitely very creative solutions. So, like we talked about, healthcare spending accounts can definitely be one avenue that individuals can use to supplement some costs. But I think the biggest thing is really communication is critical for where we've seen the most success with some of the companies that we're working with. This can't just be a benefit that's listed in really small text in your booklet. I think what has been the most effective for us is actually when leadership comes out and talks about why they're offering it, and creating a really safe space for employees to ask questions, share stories, because then when there's more conversations, more people feel comfortable about, being more open about their journey, asking for help, creating boundaries at work. And it just goes such a long way for someone who's, suffering in silence to feel like their employer is actually putting their money behind what they're kind of talking about.
No, it's so true. And I really like how you brought up the mental health portion, because it's so true. Benefits, even 5, 10 years ago, honestly, paramedical practitioners stuck at $500, and the mental health practitioners are lumped in with that $500. That would include $500 for psychotherapy, a psychologist, a social worker. Of course, in current day, that might get you 2, 3 sessions, which, of course, if you're really struggling, that is not sufficient whatsoever. Thankfully, now a lot of plan sponsors are leaning towards enhancing that benefit to $1,000 per year or $1,500 per year, which is excellent. And they're also adding on services such as employee assistant programs, which then also provide members with additional information and resources. I'm really hoping that, fertility coverage and treatment in the workspace, I hope that we're seeing that trend for fertility as well. About 5 years ago, mental health coverage wasn't making a splash on the benefits plan, and it honestly was kind of forgotten about. But thankfully now, honestly, it is marketed as a huge part of the benefits plan and what the employer is, offering to their employees to show that they care and they are there to support. I really hope that fertility care gets the same kind of treatment, honestly, in the next couple of years, because based off everything we've spoken about today, there's such a big gap. So with that being said, if employers are listening to this thinking, wow, I really do need to do something, you know, I got to start somewhere, what would you encourage them to do? Would it be best to speak with, you know, employees, do surveys, chat with other business members? How can they kind of tackle this to get started?
Yeah, it's a great question. And it's also really challenging. So the first piece of advice I always give is, one, a lot of employers work very closely with their benefit broker, benefit advisor. And so talking to their advisor to understand like what's actually going on in the market before you go then survey your employer group, because I think it's important to understand like benefit coverage, regardless if it's fertility, if it's mental health, if it's just general group health and dental, like it does have to be compared based on, you know, size and stage and like who your competitors are. And so there's some benchmarking that I think is helpful to do. But I think the most important thing is really listening to your employees. And the reason I said this is hard is because, you know, when we're on sales calls with employers, there's either some groups who totally get it. They're like 100%. I've had individuals come to me multiple times. They're asking me about what we're doing around fertility. They're asking me questions about how us as an employer are going to support them. They're basically begging that at our next renewal, we consider adding fertility coverage. That is like almost best case scenario for an employer, because they're actually getting real information that would really help build the business case. But there's often times where we talk to an employer who's like, this hasn't really come up. I don't think there's anyone at my 500 person organization that's going through this. I'm like, surely there are. But the challenge is that there's so much stigma associated with it. One, because especially, you know, infertility affects men and women equally. It's about 50% of the time it's female related, about 50% of the time it's male factor related. Unfortunately, regardless of the challenge, the woman is going to bear most of the burden because they are the ones that are going through the treatment. And so when you think about, you know, a 32-year-old woman who's going through IVF, but they know that they have a promotion that's coming up next year, they're not going to tell their manager, hey, I'm going through a really challenging fertility journey right now and I need your support, because they don't want to not get promoted and the outcome is also uncertain around how their journey will look. And so I do always pressure test of like, just because you're not getting the exact feedback you're looking for, there are different lines of questioning that you can do to get those answers. So for example, on a benefit survey, don't just have like an open text box that's like, any other areas of coverage you would be looking for, like specifically be like, you know, is fertility and family building something that you would benefit from? And like ask kind of lines of questioning that are more specific to get you those types of answers. Because also just thinking about your organization as a whole, like when we talk to companies who, you know, their average age is 31, then we start to think, okay, well, there's actually a lot of people within this population that would benefit from this program. And it actually doesn't feel like it's a niche offering.
So true. Lots of people. And I guess kind of like what you said, there is a reason as to why a lot of, you know, men and women are not speaking up to their employers about needing this coverage, because there is that fear over, oh, you know, I might be up for a promotion in a couple months. And if they know that, you know, I'm trying to start my family, am I not going to get that promotion? So that's a really good point that even if your employees aren't bringing it up as a need, there most likely is still a need there, especially when you have employees, late 20s to 40, like in that range.
And I think it's so important because like the one impending career promotion, but also if an employer hears that there are employees that are, you know, trying to conceive, whether that's naturally or through fertility treatment, then in their head they're like, oh, this person's going to be on mat leave. So then it just like changes like that whole trajectory for an individual, and without certainty that it will work or that you will be able to conceive, an individual is not talking to their employer about this.
No. Honestly.
But on the flip side, we've seen it be very successful where, as I go back to leadership talking about it, where some companies that we do work with, where, you know, the senior leaders and decision makers have actually gone through fertility treatment and they're so open about their journey, which is very vulnerable, but it creates such a safe space and environment for employees. to be able to then go through those journeys. So I do think the more conversations we can have, the more we can reduce the stigma, and the more that we can just actually make sure that we're supporting people when they need it.
Do you have, because obviously there are some success stories here, have you had feedback from an employer where they've implemented this and it's truly made a difference? I think it would just be so wonderful to hear this actually working, like a true story.
We work with a handful of companies like across different industries and sizes, but one big prominent Canadian company that we just launched with, we exceeded the number of signups so significantly on the first day. They posted in Slack, we had a big communications plan to announce the benefit, how people would use it. And the day before we launched, we actually had an employee that tried to book a call with us from our website because she was so excited that she was going to get access to Sprout services. And that was really exciting for us because we felt like, wow, like we're making such a big impact and people are so excited about the support that they can't even wait till we actually launch with them the following day. They need to get access right away. But we had like hundreds of people that signed up within the first few weeks of launching with this company. And I think the reason that I bring that up, which is so important, is that, you know, it goes back to employers thinking, trying to do the math of how many people do I think would actually use this? And they do the like the 1 in 6 of, you know, 20 to 40. Oh, I could think of a handful of people that will need this. But what it showed for us and for the employer is that our use cases span so far beyond just that 1 in 6 couple that's going through infertility. About 30% of our users on the platform today are in this proactive stream. So that is comprised of individuals who are, you know, just proactively curious about their reproductive health. So we can support them with fertility testing, understand, you know, where their health stands today and what their choices are in the future, even though they're not actually considering building a family right now. And fertility preservation. So, you know, sperm freezing, egg freezing, embryo freezing for future use. And about 35% of our active users are men. And so we're seeing like broad use cases and demographics that is very encouraging, especially when we can report back this information to employers post-launch of like we're seeing way higher utilization than even you would have expected, which really speaks to the value of the program.
Totally speaks to the value of the program. And I'm sure those employers are, you know, so thankful that they actually, you know, put something in place that clearly was needed and is so beneficial for so many of their team members. When employers actually implement, you know, strategies and services such as Sprout, what do you think a good communication looks like from the employer? Like, how would it be best for them to describe the services and not just say, hey, if you know you're having infertility issues, use this. You know, what's the best way for them to actually showcase the meaning of their decision of adding something like this to their plan?
So we do a lot of that work for them. And we have like a communication plans that we send out. Basically, it's part of our onboarding process with a new partner, a new employer, where we make sure that we provide them all the resources that they can either post on their intranet, their Notion, their benefits hub internally, as well as like on, you know, Teams or Slack. I think for us, we definitely position this more as like family planning and family building. So it speaks to a larger group and audience of individuals who would just be curious about this, whether they're going through the journey now or planning to go through a journey in the next handful of years. And encourage like whoever is posting about it. Like we always have more success when it's not just, you know, Sprout sends a welcome email and then employees can register, where it's like a big Slack message or it's a email coming from the chief people officer, the total rewards leader who's like personally proud of the initiative that they brought to the business and talk about all the different use cases of why someone would use the platform. So like I mentioned, it's not just, hey, are you know, going through an infertility journey? Now we have this platform. It's like, hey, you know, we want to support you as employees of our company. And as we think about your career progression, we know that also is similar timing to as you would think about family planning. And so we've now provided you with this platform that can support that as we continue to invest in you as employees of this business.
Yeah, and as an employee myself, you know, I would feel so heard and invalidated if this was something I needed and something that leadership then presented to me. With that being said, Are there any common objectives that you get from employers who are like, oh, I don't really think I need this? I know we just spoke about the story of so many individuals signing up and not even realizing that there was such a need. But are there any like very common objectives that you hear a lot?
Well, my answer would change if you asked me this 3 years ago versus today. So when we started Sprout 3 years ago, or just under 3 years ago, every single sales call we had, it was like, oh no, like this is not something we're going to talk about. Like, we're not going to provide coverage for this. It's not really coming up. We never hear about this. And over the last 2.5 years, there's been so many conversations around reproductive health, around midlife support, around menopause support, and just both from like the grassroots level of, plan sponsors being like, we're hearing about this. What do we do? It's also happening at the advisor level, and it's definitely happening at the TPA and carrier level, where a lot of the carriers are now launching like really robust women's health platforms, which is amazing to see. And so I would say less and less we're getting the objection of, I don't see the need. The biggest objection we're having, which would definitely resonate with you, is just like cost containment right now. Like, we're in really difficult economic times where companies are thinking like, how can I reduce spend versus increase it? Premiums are increasing through the roof. Like, I don't think there's any renewals that are going down this year, last year. And so when you think about fertility coverage, it's often like a new bucket of spend. And so sometimes we work with employers to try to understand, okay, well, if this is an area that you want to invest in, are there areas that you could deprioritize that don't have as high utilization or that aren't valued as much by the employees? So it's more about just kind of the cycle that we're in right now, where budget has to come from somewhere. And so working closely, specifically with us, we work with a ton of advisors as we co-sell deals with employers. And so we work really closely with the advisors to understand like, how do we make this work? Because you have all the information on all the other programs that are currently being invested in.
It's very true. It's a really good point about the cost. But just to kind of put a bow on this conversation, I've genuinely enjoyed speaking with you today. And clearly, although employers are starting to move towards, offering fertility-related benefits and family care, there's obviously still such a gap in where coverage should be. And frankly, I think a lot of that is just due to lack of understanding of what a robust plan looks like and what employees need, in 2025 in the current landscape. Of course, there has been so much improvement, but the access clearly remains limited. And many people still struggle to afford full fertility treatments without substantial employer, or private support. So just gonna hand it over to you once more. A really big, quick recap, on why this matters for employee satisfaction and retention.
Yeah, my quick punchline closer is, I think my message continues to hold true every time I have these conversations, is when businesses offer comprehensive family building support, you're telling your team and your employees that you see them as whole people, not just employees who are helping your business grow. And when they leave the office, doesn't matter to you, that you as an employer are invested in their futures, and that you want to actually be creating these inclusive workplaces where everyone has the opportunity to build the family they want, but also build the careers that are required and what and are needed. This ultimately drives loyalty, engagement, retention in ways that really, really move the needle for businesses. And so I think as we think about planning for 2026, 2027, this is a critical area of benefits that are, at least our hope is, that they become as commonplace and expected as things like dental and mental health coverage in the workplace.
Absolutely. Well, I would love to give you the opportunity just to kind of let everyone know where they can find your resources and how they can access them.
Yeah, of course. The best place to learn more and get access to our resources is our website, sproutfamily.ca. We actually have a free advisor toolkit where we have a lot of information on the state of the market, common objection handling tactics, a glossary of terms, and then a lot of case studies on the reasons why companies and employees would be thinking about adding and using fertility coverage. So, great resource, and it's free. So, I'll put the plug there. And then, yeah, you can find me on LinkedIn, Jackie Hansen. Happy to connect anytime.
Incredible. Jackie, I honestly can't thank you enough. This was an incredible conversation, really highlighted the need in the Canadian group benefit marketplace. Thank you again so much for listening to the Easy Benefits Blueprint podcast. If you could please like, subscribe, and we'll catch you next time.